Welcome to this sermon on the second Sunday of Lent 2021, delivered by the Reverend Canon David Hodgson for All Saints Church, Wokingham. First, you will hear the gospel reading for the day, followed by the sermon. The gospel reading for Sunday, the 28th of February, the second Sunday in Lent. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Then Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." This is the gospel of the Lord. Sermon on the second Sunday of Lent, February the 28th. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The trouble with me is I'll say the wrong thing. I never know what to say. We're probably all familiar with those thoughts, and maybe we've all had them in certain situations. In today's gospel reading, we heard perhaps the most famous rebuke in history given to someone for saying the wrong thing, as Jesus responded to Peter's error with, "Get behind me, Satan." When Peter spoke against Jesus' prediction of his suffering and death, Jesus reacted strongly. It showed that Peter was still possessed by an utterly false understanding of God's purposes. Peter's thinking was still immersed in an all too human vision of a Messiah, someone anointed by God who would vindicate God's people by an exercise of power and glorious victory, who would defeat and humiliate the enemies of Israel, not someone who would suffer and be defeated himself. Peter had confessed Jesus was the Messiah, but also, as soon as he did, Jesus ordered the disciples not to tell anyone about him. Jesus knew that others too would misunderstand his role if his true identity were known. The wrong things will be said, the wrong message heard. When we look at St. Mark's Gospel as a whole, we see only two instances where the title of Messiah, or Christ, or any exalted title, is given to Jesus.
Both were in private, this occasion with Peter, and then, just before his death, at the secret audience with the high priest, where Jesus admits under pressure that he is the Christ. What we see is that nowhere in Mark's Gospel do Jesus or his followers proclaim publicly his identity as Christ or the saving purpose of his death. So in Mark's Gospel, we have a paradox. To have revealed in public the true identity of Jesus and the true purpose of his coming would have been to say the wrong thing. How can saying the right thing be the wrong thing? Well, perhaps it comes about partly as a result of the nature of human communication. Good teachers, I think, find out what their students know already. They begin teaching by learning from and about their students, but they don't always continue by building on what their students think they know already, especially when teaching adults. There's a theory in adult education that adults find learning new things can be threatening, that we are happy to approach new ideas from a safe distance, never thinking at first what we're learning might change all we knew. Good teachers focus on the learners. They want people to learn, not just the right things to be said. Jesus was a good teacher. Maybe that's why he didn't want his identity openly revealed, because he knew it wouldn't be understood until after people had heard what he said and seen what he did. In fact, not until after his life was given up and his words were silenced on the cross. Peter thought he knew what a Messiah should be, but he was wrong. He spoke too soon. His mindset had not yet been changed by what Jesus called divine things. What was not to be kept secret, though, and Jesus called the crowd to gather round and hear it, was the truth that God's values and ways of going about things are the very opposite of those that prevail in a world dominated by the needs of the selfish ego, what I want and what I need. Jesus turned to the crowd, you recall, and said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." To be a follower of Jesus is to adopt a very different path in life, the pathway of true and enduring life and joy which comes through trusting God. All the wealth and fame of the world will not save or heal or release one human being from self-centeredness. This way of Christ doesn't seek suffering for its own sake. There is nothing masochistic about our faith, or there shouldn't be. But Jesus invited his followers willingly to accept the cost, the suffering and the loss for the sake of the true life. All pathways in life involve a cost. An acceptance of the risk of suffering and loss for the sake of having a life. At its most basic, we must leave the comfortable security of our morning beds to go and fulfill the day's work. And yet Jesus is clear. To live a life following him will involve costs, because the world is dominated by an opposite way of thinking. And even in our own selves, we must struggle and suffer at times to accept God's gift of true life. But also Jesus tells us the cost of following him in no way compares with the massive costs, the depths of loss and suffering, which can come to us when we devote all our energies to securing and preserving our own selfish needs. Loss of happiness, loss of relationships, and ultimately, loss of spirit. And that's why elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor, and I will give you rest. My burden is light, my yoke is easy." There is no contradiction between that and what Jesus says here in today's Gospel, I believe. Our Lent course this year is talking about witnessing to the faith we have in Christ this scary word, evangelism. We are exploring how all Christians have a part to play. How do we share our faith with others? To help us with that, it's worth looking at how people actually come to a living faith in Christ, which is deeply meaningful to them. How did we become part of God's church and followers of Christ? And how do others? How do we, who have formed a community of Christ followers and gather every week, in normal times at least, welcome those who come to share that with us, perhaps for the first time? How do we share what we know and love about Christ with those who are wanting to find out more? The Archbishop of York, Stephen Cotterill, formerly our own bishop in the Reading area, said that the best form of evangelism is the Christ-like witness of ordinary Christians in their ordinary lives. Which brings us back to, the trouble with me is I'll say the wrong thing and I won't know what to say. The point is, those feelings are a good place to start. Peter thought he knew what to say to Jesus, and he was wrong. A little hesitancy, some sensitivity, and listening to what Jesus was telling him would have been the better course. Jesus also knew there are some right things that cannot be said in the wrong place or time without becoming the wrong thing to say. Sharing the good news of Christ is not most of all about saying right things. Not to begin with, anyway. It's about that living demonstration of God's free gift of love in Jesus. People who have been brought into Christian faith already, people who haven't been brought into Christian faith already, can take an average of up to 5 years exploring and thinking about whether they really do want to become a disciple of Christ. Becoming a follower of Jesus and trusting in God for our lives is a process of gradual growth, questioning, testing, learning, perhaps from a distance to begin with. We aspire to be a church community which encourages people to enter that process, affirms people in that process, and supports people going through that process. Being a church where all can grow their gifts and faith in God is one of the elements of our parish vision. After Easter, we'll once again hold a Turning to Christ course for those who want to begin that process of exploring going further into faith in Christ. Love and understanding come before words, even the right words. In the end, of course, the ability any of us have to see Jesus for who he really is, the willingness any of us have to respond and follow him with faith in God is always a gift from God, God's Spirit in us. When it comes to the message our hearts need to hear, it will always be God who does the talking.